This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
All right. So this morning we continue in this series on hospitality that we're doing as a church. We are exploring and learning that hospitality is the call on every Christian. And it's especially true for us at Christ Church Mission. We feel like hospitality is what God is calling us to do in particular. And I think the very first week, I said part of what I am hoping is that as we look into hospitality more deeply, that we will see the entire story of God in light of hospitality. That God has acted towards humanity in one giant act of hospitality. So these first couple of weeks, we're plunging a little bit deeper into what hospitality is, and then later in the series, we'll start digging into like what hospitality looks like and who we should be hospitable to and how hospitality manifests itself among us as a church. So again, this first couple of weeks is about what hospitality is. And last week we talked about how the church is like a hospital. And I feel like, at least for me, the hot take from last week was that that hospitality is about change. That hospitality isn't only about welcoming people in exactly as they are, but hospitality is about meeting people's needs, whatever those needs are. Maybe a food for their stomachs or healing for their bodies. And so just like a hospital meets the serious needs of its patients, so too the church is to meet the serious needs of all people. We're supposed to create space for God to treat all of our sickness. That is hospitality. Hospitality is about meeting people's needs. It's not only receiving them as they are. It doesn't leave them there. It meets their needs. Okay, so that's last week. And this week, I'm going to just show my hand right up front. Sometimes I feel like when I preach a sermon or when other pastors preach, they kind of have like a big reveal towards the end of the sermon, like, it was Jesus the whole time, you know, like that's not today. I'm just going to come right out with my main point, and then we're going to just hit that main point over and over again. So today, we're going to talk about how true hospitality isn't about just receiving people into your space, into our space, waiting for people to come to you, being willing to accept them. Real hospitality is proactive. Real hospitality isn't just waiting and receiving, it's about going out. It doesn't just wait for people to come in. So think about like other hospitality things. Like, you know, there are restaurants that are ready to receive people, but there are also like food trucks, you know, that are like going out to where people need food. There are hospitals that are ready to receive people, but there are also ambulances, you know, medical teams that are going out to meet people in their place of need. Places like Meals on Wheels, you know, like that is a hospitality industry, but it goes to the place where the hungry people are. I want to challenge our conventional thinking this morning about hospitality, and I want to say that I think biblical hospitality involves a going out just as much as it involves a welcoming in. So I do have like kind of a three-part sermon this morning, but I don't have any fancy acronyms or alliterations. We're just going to talk about that idea, what I'll call like missional hospitality or hospitable mission, the going out kind of hospitality. And I'm going to talk about how it's true of our God, how it's true of our like Christian legacy and heritage, and how it can be true for Christ Church Mission moving forward, okay? How it's true about God, how it's true about our past, and how it can be true for our future. So let's first go to the pages of Scripture and look at how this idea of missional hospitality is true of our God. So I want to look at a specific story of missional hospitality, and it's the one that Trish read for us this morning. I think it's printed in your bulletin, by the way. It's this great story, somewhat well-known story in terms of Christian stories, the story of Zacchaeus. Many of us are familiar with this story. Zacchaeus was a bad guy, a tax collector getting rich off the backs of poor peasants. And Jesus was passing through, and for whatever reason, Zacchaeus was drawn to see Jesus. And so he went to see him, but he was very short, so he climbed up in a tree. And just to see Jesus with his own eyes, you know, and I do want to like challenge, we always just kind of think about this as a kid's story. I don't know why exactly, because maybe because Zach, I call him Zach for short, but Zacchaeus was short, you know, and thus like it's a story for kids because he's little and he climbed a tree. I don't know, but it's an important story for Christians, I think. Okay, there's one detail of this story, though, that I want to highlight in particular, and it's often overlooked. So when Jesus sees Zacchaeus up in the tree, he says to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down. I am staying at your house today." That's Jesus' line to Zacchaeus. Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. Now, we would never really do that here in the West. There's kind of social taboos. In fact, as I was like doing research for this message and stuff, I would like Google things like inviting yourself over. And the top 10 things were just like, do not do that. Like, that is social faux pas. Do not do that. But it was far more acceptable in the Eastern culture, still is, and especially in the past. I've shared this story before, but when Jenny and I were in Uganda many years ago, we were staying in the small, modest house of a widow there who was hosting us. And while we were there, there were 8 people living in this widow's house. That was Jenny and I and the widow and her kids, and she had some hired hands. So there were people sleeping under the stairs and in the hallway and even outside, you know. So there are 8 of us in this home, and then on like the 5th day of our visit, there came a knock at the door, and it was her cousin or something, you know, kind of a little bit of a distant relative of the widow, knocked on the door, and when we opened, he was holding his suitcase, and he said, "I've come for a visit," and they said, "Yay," and so we made room for him. He was just received with warm hospitality. He just invited himself over. They had no idea that he was showing up, so it's far more common in other cultures than it is in ours. Okay, so back to the story. Jesus didn't wait for Zacchaeus's invitation. He didn't kind of hang out at the bottom of the tree and say, "Zac, is there anything you want to say?" You know, he just inserted himself gently, lovingly, but assertively into Zacchaeus's life. He could have said, "Zacchaeus, do you want to come with us? Wherever we're going, I don't know where I'll sleep tonight, but feel free to join us, come with me." But he didn't. He said, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house." Jesus would be hospitable to Zacchaeus by gently inviting himself into Zacchaeus' home and into his life. And that, it changed Zacchaeus' life. The passage says, just a few verses later, Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house. This man is a son of Abraham. This man is a child of God." Then this great line, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." An act of missional hospitality changed Zacchaeus' life, and there was this trickle-down of justice. It says that Zacchaeus like vowed to return all that he had wronged, you know? Hospitality is always about consideration of the guest. If you don't tailor and cater what you're doing for your guests, then you are doing hospitality wrong. You have to think about like the menu and the atmosphere and the needs of your guest. You have to consider the guest. And Jesus displays that to such extremes that he literally says, "Let's meet on your terms, on your turf, Zacchaeus." That is kingdom hospitality, missional hospitality. Kingdom hospitality doesn't just wait around for the right people, for the right time to host people, or even the right time to invite them into your thing. Kingdom hospitality is proactive, inviting itself into the lives and homes of its guests. I could tell you more stories from the Bible, stories of Jesus, stories of other great, amazing stories of hospitality from the Bible where people met other people on their terms. But there's something bigger that I want to show you, and that is that this idea of missional hospitality is not just a story that happens in the Bible. Missional hospitality is the story of the Bible. It's the big story. At the heart of the story of God is missional hospitality, a person inviting themselves to be our guests, inviting themselves in to host. Let's talk for a second about the passage that Katie read this morning. It's this great poem that the Apostle Paul wrote in the letter to the Philippians, and in it he says that Jesus, although he was God, didn't stay there with God. He lowered himself. He made himself nothing. He became human. He invited himself into our world, and it cost him so much, even death on a cross. Why? So that everyone might know him, so that everyone might experience him as Lord. So Jesus, like, left his turf, if you will, in heaven with God, and he came down to be hosted by us and to make a way of salvation for all people. There's other examples I can point to that tell that story really well. One would be in John 1. In the beginning of John's gospel, he kind of lays out the big story of his version of the big story of God and his people. And he says that the Word, or Jesus Christ, left his place in heaven and made his dwelling among us, it says. Like, he set up camp among us. He left his turf and came to us in an act of missional hospitality. He made a home among us. The blessings of God are proactive, going out, not only hospitable in the reception of guests. Now, understand what I'm saying here is that God could have chosen to treat us with conditional hospitality, right? Couldn't God have chosen to say, like, hey, I'll be over here, and, like, whenever you're ready, my door is open. You can come in. And I have a great table open for you. That would even would be like a generous act of hospitality from God. But he did even more than that. He came to us. That is an act of hospitality too. So hospitality isn't only about the reception, the warm reception of guests into our thing. Hospitality involves a going out. Initiative taking power. Gently inviting itself into the world. Okay, so that's an attempt to show you that, like, missional hospitality is a key feature of our God. I want to talk a little bit about how it's true of our Christian legacy, of our heritage, that proactive hospitality is and has been a key part of the mission of the church from day one. And in a sense, what I'm trying to show you is that, like, that kind of missional hospitality, it works. It's worked in the past, and it still works today. So first, we see from the earliest description of the church in the book of Acts that there was this proactive hospitality. Not only creating hospitality in and among themselves, which they were amazing at, but also establishing outposts of that hospitality all over the known world. In the pages of Scripture, you see ordinary Christians going out, inviting themselves into towns and villages and homes. You know, we have a record of Jesus saying, when you enter a town with this message of my love, look for someone to stay with. You know, he's giving them the instruction, like, hey, when you walk into these towns, like, invite yourself over. Find people who are excited about this too. Little communities of hospitality began to spring up all over. I was reading an article this week, and it was just like on a secular history site. And I was researching a little bit about, like, how the early church, you know, just in the first 300 years kind of grew, because it grew so amazingly, you know. And so how did it grow? And there's this article that I found by a guy, Bart Ehrman, a leading authority on the history of early Christianity. And I copied a long quote, but I'll just summarize for you here. I think when I tend to think about how the church probably grew in its earliest form, I think of, like, masses of people hearing the gospel preached and all giving their lives to Christ at the same time, and the church receiving these huge influxes of people, you know? And that happened some, but that is not the primary way that the gospel spread in the first 300 years of the church's existence. The way that it spread was with ordinary Christians kind of inviting themselves into the life of one other person. That person, like, giving their heart to the Lord and their household, and then it would slowly, slowly grow. The historian said that, like, that's the way it happens, just person by person by person, not these huge evangelistic rallies with tons of people coming in. It was relational, missional hospitality, Christians inviting themselves into the lives of other people. Okay, fast forward like 1,500 years or something like that. I've been reading a lot about the settlement of this area, like of Kansas and of Kansas City and of mission in particular. And it's been fascinating to me. And I've been looking for an excuse to share it on a Sunday morning, and I have it today. Okay. So this area in the early 1800s was inhabited almost exclusively by Native Americans, which is hard for us to imagine now. And I know, look, that part of our story is ultimately really tragic and sad. But as I've been reading about the history and the settlement of this area, I also have been finding such amazing examples of big-hearted Christians who left their homes to, like, engage in missional hospitality right here in our neighborhood and in our area. Take Reverend Isaac McCoy as an example. He was one of the very first Christians to come to this area. He was a Baptist minister who moved into this very neighborhood. One of the very first Christians to ever step foot here in this neighborhood. And look, I'm sure he was probably messed up and backwards in a lot of ways. But the history books are very kind to this guy. He uprooted his life in Michigan, where he had been like engaging in, other hospitable work to the Native Americans there. And he uprooted his life and moved to Kansas to start a new mission among an unreached people group. And even the history books say that his care for the Indians was deep and genuine, and that he came here in part to protect them from the greed of the whites at the time. He started a Christian mission here, an outpost of Christian hospitality in this neighborhood in 1831. The physical evidence of that mission is almost completely gone, except one stone marker that sits on the corner of 55th and Walmer, just a few blocks down the road. McCoy brought the first printing press into Kansas, and the very first book ever printed in Kansas was printed in the language of the Delaware tribe. The Shawnee Sun newspaper was printed on that same printing press and was printed in the language of the Shawnee tribe, the first newspaper in the world to be printed in a Native American language. Happened right here in Mission, Kansas. They printed Christian songbooks and scriptures, all in the language of the Native Americans. That was right here in Mission. That's why it's called Mission, y'all. Mission. Because of the outposts of Christian hospitality that sprung up right here, right where we are. There are others, one at 61st and Hemlock, and then the biggest and most kind of famous and the one that still has the most amount of structure still there, the one over at 53rd and Mission Road. Now, I'm not trying to whitewash the messed up parts of our country's history. However, I do want to point to the proactive and big-hearted Christians who left their homes to be a hospitable mission to an unreached people. This neighborhood even has a legacy of Christian hospitality. people moving themselves into the neighborhood, inviting themselves in to the lives of others, to be a blessing, to be hospitable, and to consider the needs of others. Christ Church Mission, I love that it continues that legacy. It's just one of the many reasons why I love this church. Christ Church Mission. We are on a mission. We are continuing the proactive hospitality of God, establishing God's hospitality right here, inviting others in, hosting people sensitively and warmly. That initiative-taking, missional hospitality is what God has used from the beginning to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. In the ancient world, on the other side of the planet, right here in our neighborhood, and everywhere in between. Let me say lastly that this kind of hospitality, a proactive, initiative-taking hospitality, can be true of us as a church and as God's people moving forward. Let me start with some of the things that we do, like, corporately as Christ Church Mission, and then we'll talk about more individually. So this week, our club started up at Rushton Elementary. I know y'all heard those announcements for several weeks. But we have these great clubs with over, like, 130 kids and a school of just over 300 students, and that is a work of missional hospitality. We said from the beginning, those clubs exist because someone went to the school and said, hey, how can we invite ourselves in? Not can you come here. Not can your students come over here and be a part of the thing that we're doing, but can we come there and be a blessing to you in some way? And the school said, yes. Now we have all these kids experiencing constructive after-school activities and fun. We didn't say, Rushton, come here. We said, Rushton, can we come there? Also, we have these great partnerships with these international partnerships in Uganda and Honduras, and these are missions of kingdom hospitality, I assure you. They are not coercive or agenda-driven. I can speak to that firsthand. Like, our long-time relationships with, like, for instance, the church in Uganda is not one of us saying, like, hey, we'd really like to do this, so is that cool? Our relationship with them is, how can we come there and be a blessing and a support to what you are already doing and what God is doing among you? There have been a lot of things written, just so you know, I've read all this stuff, about how unhealthy short-term mission trips can be. There's a lot out there, but I don't see that our relationship with these partners in Uganda and Honduras have those characteristics, because they're healthy. They're us investing in what they are already doing, you know? We are in constant dialogue with them about what they're up to and how we can support it. So some of you know we're engaged in this effort to raise money this fall. And part of what we're going to do with that money is build a church in Uganda on the campus of Gulu University to build and create another outpost of Christian hospitality on the other side of the world, on a college campus in Uganda. Another thing that we hope to do with the money is to create a fund for another local outpost of Christian hospitality, you know, like another Christ Church Mission, another church plant someday. All right. As a church, we are on a hospitable mission in the world, gently inviting ourselves in. That's true of us as like a corporate church, but let me just close by talking about how this can be true, not just of us as a corporate body, but of you as a disciple, as a personal like follower of Jesus. I want for all of us to not spend our whole Christian life waiting to be invited into someone else's world. Like metaphorically, kind of peeking out your curtains, you know, saying like, well, I would have people over into my life. Like, I would welcome them in if they only came knocking. That's not enough. Let's be generous and missional, going out with our hospitality. When I was like a pretty fervent young Christian, like in middle school and high school, well-meaning Christians would tell me, Dean, if you live a passionate life as a Christian, then your non-Christian friends will come to you, Dean, and they will say, Dean, there is something different about you. Can you tell me what that is? And then that, Dean, then you'll be ready to say, it's the love of Jesus. Like, don't you want to? Well, guess I was a Christian that entire time. You want to guess how many times someone came up to me and asked me that question? Zero. Now, maybe that has more to do with my poor Christian witness, but it just never happened. Nobody ever came to me. If I was just waiting, like, here I am, like, I'm ready to be hospitable, like, nothing would have happened. I've seen much more fruit in my life from gently, lovingly inviting myself into someone else's life and into their world. I've been blessed to have so many people do that for me. Maybe some of you have too. You know, I was thinking, reflecting this week on different people. You know, I met a local pastor at a neighborhood thing a couple of years ago, and he was much older and had, you know, just a lot of experience as a pastor. And he, like, just assertively said, like, after, you know, I was happy to just have met him and had good small talk and then go about the rest of our lives. But he said, hey, I want to take you out for coffee. I just thought, okay. And that led to this, like, and when that coffee was over, he said, when are we doing this again? You know, he, like, gently, lovingly, like, invited himself into my life. And that relationship was such a huge blessing to me over the years. He really, like, prayed for me and mentored me. I think about, like, my youth ministry days. When I did youth ministry for a long time. And youth ministry is the art of inviting yourself into these students' lives. You know, I remember even though I lived over here, like, I bought a Blue Valley Northwest t-shirt so that I could go and watch Becca's softball games and cheer for her, you know. And I got a Shawnee Mission East t-shirt so that I can go cheer on Jason at his baseball games, you know. Like, I could have worn, like, a Christchurch shirt or something, right, and been like, hey, my thing, here I am. But I gently, lovingly entered that world and invited myself into it. Is there someone that God might like for you to be gently, lovingly inviting yourself into their life and into their world? Let's be the kind of people who don't only wait for people to come into us, but who hospitably go to others. Hospitality isn't just about receiving people in whatever margin of your life you happen to have at the moment. It's about making room and inviting yourself in, gently, lovingly, into their lives. God did that for us. He did not wait for your invitation. He came down, and it was the greatest gift of hospitality that the world has ever known. I pray that we can embody and kind of mirror even a tinge of that same spirit of missional hospitality in our neighborhoods and in our city and around the world.